something that they would like to share as well. So if you feel like that's you and it feels a bit burning as we're hearing everyone else's stories, then get ready to come and share as well. As I was thinking about this morning, I was just thinking about hearing a testimony. To me, there's kind of two parts that stand out, the gratefulness of it and the faith of it. And I'm just going to read a little bit here because the faith of the centurion, right? Who knows that story in the Bible of the centurion? He was a leader in the Roman world who didn't have a reason to have a faith in Jesus. He didn't have his culture didn't revolve around prayer and healing, none of that. He didn't have that. But it says in Matthew 8, when Jesus had entered Capernaum, a centurion came forward to him, appealing to him, "Lord, my servant is lying paralyzed at home, suffering terribly." And Jesus said to him, "I will come and heal him." But the centurion replied, "Lord, I'm not worthy to have you come under my roof, but say the word and my servant will be healed. I too am a man under authority with soldiers under me. I tell one to go and he goes, and another to come and he comes. To my servant, do this, and he does it." And when Jesus heard this, he marveled and said to those who followed him, "Truly I tell you, no one in Israel have I found such faith." And then it goes on and to the centurion, Jesus says, "Go and let it be done for you as you have believed." And the servant was healed at that very moment. What a story! Like, what a story! A man, how did... there's so many aspects, that's the whole thing in itself, but the key thing today for this is, how did the centurion know to go to Jesus? How did he know? What led him to go there? And not even just to go there, but to go there and say, "You don't even need to do anything else other than say the word, and my servant, who you don't even know where he or she is, I trust that they will be healed because of what? Because of the stories I've heard about you. Because of the stories I've heard of what you do." Guys, how many people in our lives, how many people in this room right now, I know I need to hear some stories today of what God has done that stirs my faith that he will do things again. So good, eh? And then the second part is just about the gratefulness of it. I feel like as people are coming to share, they're encouraging us and, you know, we encourage others with our stories and it leads them to Jesus, right? But also, we encourage ourselves when we use gratefulness and gratitude. And I'm just going to find it on here. I've got to flick between a page, so bear with me for a second. Because you know how science is kind of catching up with Jesus? You know, there's like, it's a whole big thing now for fasting, you know, how good fasting is for your health and how everybody should be fasting in their weeks. It's like, oh, who knew that that would be a good idea? Or, you know, the work that they've done on research on the brains and how our little, I'm not a scientist, I don't know, the little neurons, whatever, they grow. They're physical, our thoughts are physical, and they grow in our brains. And every morning, every night as we sleep, they repair themselves. And as we wake up in the morning, new thoughts are growing there, like physically growing like branches on a tree. That's like scientifically proven. And, you know, it makes me think that new every morning, he makes our thoughts, right? Science is catching up. And this, with gratitude, it's a whole big thing now, right? You can look anywhere and there are gratitude journals, there are podcasts, there's so many things. You can go to counsellors and the key takeaway they'll say is, start thinking of things that you're grateful for. It's biblical, guys. This is what God has designed us to be like. And it says here, this is from a health, the Mayo Clinic Health System website. Expressing gratitude is associated with a host of mental and physical benefits. Studies have shown that feeling thankful can improve sleep, can improve mood and immunity. Gratitude decreases depression. It decreases anxiety, it decreases difficulties with chronic pain and risk of disease. And then this is what the website says, if gratefulness was a pill, everybody would be taking it. Isn't that cool? This isn't like, we're not just doing this to make us feel better, but something inside of us, these people that are going to share today, as they share their gratefulness and their testimony, actually health comes to their body. And it happens for all of us. So I just thought it would be a bit fun. Before we get into that, we're going to do it now, but just take 30 seconds to, for yourself, within yourself, just think of three things today that you're grateful for. You don't have to share them with anybody. I'm not going to ask you to do that, but just right now, three things that you're grateful for just today. Awesome. And if you can't stop at three, I encourage you later on before you go to bed, do it again and again and again. Awesome. Miss Debbie, we would love to hear from you today. Why don't you come on out? Let's give Debbie a little hand as she comes up, a little bit of encouragement. Awesome.
Thank you. Morning, everyone. Oh, I've had to write this down because my memory won't work, so. Yeah, okay. Most of you will be aware that my husband Peter passed away unexpectedly in September last year. Since then, it has been like living in an altered reality, still finding it hard to believe Peter is not around. My first reaction was that my life was over. All our plans and dreams were to come to nothing. I know what has happened was not the Lord's fault. At first, I could only think of what I had lost and not everything Peter and I had shared. Peter passing away was the biggest test of my faith. I had always believed that I could live without everyone except the Lord. Now my belief was being put to the test. Did I trust the Lord more than anyone else? I have realised I need the Lord more than ever, and this situation has drawn me nearer to the Lord. I have a new love and understanding of prayer. I love talking to the Lord, seeking his wisdom in every situation. Scripture has come alive and I want to immerse myself in it. A quote from Samuel Chadwick, a Wesleyan Methodist minister. It is wonderful what God can do with a broken heart if he gets all the pieces. And then another quote by him. Great grief prays with great earnestness. Prayer is not a collection of balanced phrases. It is the pouring out of the soul. What is love if it be not fiery? What are prayers if the heart be not ablaze? They are the battles of the soul. In them men wrestle with principalities and powers. The prayer that prevails is not the work of lips and fingertips. It is the cry of a broken heart and the travail of a stricken soul. I am truly blessed by the church family and overwhelmed by the care and attention they have given me. Thank you for demonstrating the Lord's love for me. When I met Peter in 1993, I had only been a Christian for 6 months. I was attending discipleship classes through my church in London, and although you may find it hard to believe, I was full of the joy of the Lord. I was excited and vocal about my love for the Lord. He had saved my life, and I wanted to tell everyone what he had done for me. When I first met Peter, he didn't know the Lord, and even though I never asked Peter to attend church, he asked to come. One day, he became curious about church because I didn't stop talking about it. We were both baptized and married at the very church. Within the last month, I have discovered the joy I felt when I first believed. I am excited about the future the Lord has for me. I don't know what my future looks like, but as long as I have the Lord, it doesn't matter. The Lord has been giving me scripture to encourage me and help me to believe I have a hope and a future. The Lord has a plan for my life. Psalm 126, verses 5 to 6 in the Passion Translation. Those who sow their tears as seeds will reap a harvest with joyful shouts of glee. They may weep as they go out carrying their seed to sow, but they will return with joyful laughter and shouting with gladness as they bring back armloads of blessing and a harvest overflowing. Psalm 32, verses 8 to 9, the Passion Translation. I will stay close to you, instructing and guiding you along the pathway of your life. I will advise you along the way and lead you forth with my eyes as your guide. So don't make it difficult. Don't be stubborn when I take you where you've not been before. Don't make me tug you and pull you along. Just come with me. And then 2 Corinthians 1, verses 3 to 4, the Passion Translation. All praises belong to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, for he is the Father of tender mercy and the God of endless comfort. He always comes alongside us to comfort us in every suffering so that we can come alongside those who are in any painful trial. We can bring them this same comfort that God has poured out upon us. I want to encourage everyone in whatever trial or circumstance they are in to turn to the Lord, for he is the God of all comfort. Even in the deepest, darkest hour, he is there. Father, we just come before you now and we just call out to you, Lord. You know what everybody's going through here. You know their situation, even if they haven't talked to you about it, Lord. You just want to help us, Lord, and the scripture is just such an encouragement, and that's what I've found over the last 6 months, Lord. It really has been an eye-opening experience, Lord. And I just pray your blessing upon everybody here, that they will find the comfort that I have found, Lord, and the hope for a future. And I just pray, Lord, that everybody here acknowledges that you're the only way to get through anything, Lord. If we have nothing else left, as long as we have you, we can do anything, Lord. So I just pray, Lord, for you to be here amongst us, Lord, and to open the hearts of people that may be suffering or going through difficult situations. We thank you, Father, and we praise your name, Jesus. Amen.
Oh, Debbie, you're just a walking example of the Lord being close to the brokenhearted and swapping beauty for ashes, ashes for beauty. We just bless you in that story. How beautiful. Okay, Daniel, we're going to ask you to come up and share now as well. So just as Daniel's talking, we want to bless these people that are speaking as well as they're talking, but also just hear if there's something that's encouraging you from this story too.
Thank you, Jenna. Morning, church. So for those who don't know, my name's Daniel. I work at a youth centre downtown. And Ben just asked me to come and share some of the success stories we've had there recently. So my testimony is not so much of God delivered this, but more a testament to faithful prayer and continually walking with someone through the hurdles to watch them grow into an amazing flower, whatever metaphor you want to put there. But we just had 3 young men go through the paper because one of them got NCA level 1, one of them got really close, and one's got a job now. And the reason that's so huge is because Taranaki has one of the highest rates of young people not in any form of education. So not only not in school, but in any form of education. And there's 5 alternative educations, and one of those providers is Zeal. So we look after the 14 to 16-year-olds. One of these young men came in and we were told he had the memory learning of a 6-year-old, and that would never be able to teach him anything. It then became my job to help him with math, and by the end of the year, he was 3 credits away from getting NCA level 1. That's huge, because this is a young man who, and I don't ridicule the school system, because I used to work in the school system and I love it, but it didn't work for him, and he needed that extra support. His best friend got NCA level 1. This was another young man who told he wouldn't get it, but then when you learnt how he worked, he got it, which is really cool. And the other young man, which I think they actually didn't probably go into in the paper, was he actually got removed from course for his behaviour one day. It was appalling. But anyway, what they don't tell you is that the following weeks, we were getting him into job interviews and helping him with CVs because we didn't want to leave him there. And now he's got a 4-week job, oh, four-day job, 4 days on, 4 days off, 16 in the workforce. And that's what I did when I was young, and it's just what he needed. So I think my testimony is more of the fact of every morning I wake up and I pray for these kids that I work with, many of them. 9 out of 10 staff at Zeal are all Christians, and they're all praying for these young people. But Zeal is not a Christian organisation. It's faith-based, but it's not Christian, so we can't preach to these kids. But there are times when we're driving back and they'll be like, well, how did you give up weed? And I'm like, well, I know Jesus. So there is times we do get to do it, but we just can't be outwardly. But so that's why I say my testament is more, as Fraser was saying, the faithfulness of prayer. When you give these issues and these things to God, you will see him move in those times. And continually walking with someone, because these kids can be really hard sometimes. But when you're faithful to them and faithful in prayer, God moves. Yeah, that's cool. So Jenna just asked for anybody who is walking with someone and it can be difficult, or you are lifting people up in prayer that you know need it, I'm just going to pray for those people and for yourself. So God, I just thank you that these people we do pray for, you actually love and care for them more than we do. So when we pray for them, you rejoice because we're lifting up the people you care about to you. And I just pray for those people that have been praying for people for years, God, and I'm talking decades, that they would see things move that they've been waiting to see move for years. And God, I also pray for the ones in the room that are walking alongside people that can be challenging or can, you know, you're just walking through someone with muck, Lord, and it can get hard. And I just pray for patience. I pray for steadfastness. And I pray for that faithful love you show us to shine through them so that the people that they are walking with can see your love through your faithful servants. Thank you, Lord. I bless this community. I bless this house. Amen.
How good. And also, I wasn't planning to do this to everyone, but Daniel, what a testament as well of, he's had his 30th birthday this week, so I feel like that's a big one to put out. That was not what I was going to say, but he put a beautiful thing online and said that it's been 10 years that you've been saved, 10 years that you've been walking with Jesus. And I mean, a lot of us knew you when you came in, and you're an amazing young guy then, but just I feel like your life is just an example of when you get passionate about what Jesus has called you to do. Make me emotional, what that actually can look like and how you can, yeah, okay. So when we're passionate about what Jesus has called, when we know what he's put in our heart, what brings us life and excitement and fire, lean into that, guys, because look what happens when we do. It's actually the stories surrounding us of God's goodness. So we bless you, Daniel. Oh, sorry. Having a good time up here. Lindell, why don't you come on up? And then after Lindell, I'm going to open it for anyone else that has a story that they want to share. So, like I said, have a think.
So, I think a lot of you know me, but for those that don't, in 2004, I set up a private occupational therapy business to work with children with autism and ADHD and anxiety, all kinds of different things. And when I worked at the hospital, what they would do was when there was a client that was too difficult and no one could cope with them, they'd give them to me or to my boss. So I got all the clients that nobody else could work with. And I thought when I left the hospital, I got approached by another organisation to work for them for a while and started to set up my own thing. I thought, yay, I won't have to work with all the really tricky ones anymore. They found a way to refer them to the private organisation that I had so I could still have them. But when I started working with the kids, one of the things was I work by myself. There's only me. I'm the only employee. So during the day, I normally only speak to parents to say hello and goodbye when they drop off the kids. And then I have non-verbal kids that cannot say a word, and all sorts of interesting kids, and kids that won't speak because they choose to be mute, and all this sort of stuff. So very lonely sometimes. And last year, something really nasty started going down in November. And that's still ongoing, still working through all that. Some of you know what's been going on. But I was getting really frustrated and thinking, well, what's the point? Why am I doing this? Why do I put myself out there and do this stuff? And there's just no reason to it all, and it's just so frustrating. And I was at the supermarket putting my stuff in the car, and this lady started shouting across the car park, Lindell, Lindell. And I'm like, okay. And so she came running over, and she said, I don't know if you remember me. This is probably a kid you know, actually. Daniel used to work with me. And she said, I don't know if you remember me, but I worked with this particular boy, and I just wanted you to know how well he's doing. And I haven't seen her for about 5 years. And she was the nanny for the household and worked mainly with the younger brother, but used to drop the older boy off to me for therapy and stuff. And he was a really difficult kid. He was a really unusual child. But anyway, he's now got a full-time job and he's loving it and he's doing really, really well. And she said, you know, you don't realise what a difference you make and how you've got it for these kids, and you get them and other people just don't get them, but you do. And you've changed this kid's life. And when I saw you, I knew I had to come and tell you. And I looked at her and I said, you don't know how much I needed to hear that today. And so it was a real thing about, and I had no reason to be at the supermarket because I'd done my shopping that week. And I was driving home and I thought, oh, I might just pop in the supermarket and get a couple of things. I didn't actually need them. I didn't need to be there. And I don't usually shop at that time of day. And there she was. And then, so yeah, and I just, that was just amazing. The other thing that's happened is that whenever there's a downturn in the economy, people stop bringing their kids for therapy because I'm in private, so they have to pay themselves. So not many kids have been coming. And so I've been praying about that, and what do I do? So I'm just getting emotional thinking about that boy and how well he did. Yeah, so finances have been very, very tight. And I've been looking at ways to work that out and what I can do, because, you know, God needs my help to sort things out. So, and every idea that I've come up with has come to nothing. It's like, okay, this is getting frustrating here. And two things. God spoke to me and really clearly told me to look up Isaiah 49. And I thought, well, I know Isaiah 49 really well. It's one of my favourite chapters. It's like my life chapter. There won't be anything in there for this, because I know Isaiah 49, but all right, I give in, I'll look at it. And I'm looking through it, and I come to verse 18, and it says, lift up your eyes and look around. All your children gather and come to you as surely as I live, declares the Lord. And it's just like a promise that there are children coming, and there will be people coming who are going to pay for therapy. And I will have the income that I need to cover the things that I need to do. But also, a lot of the children that come to me come with anxiety. And one of the things that it says in Isaiah is that great will be the peace of the children who come. And I had a school teacher who came one day to find out what I was doing, because I was working with this child in his class, and he could see the changes in this kid, so he wanted to find out what was going on. And he came and he walked into my place and he sat down on the chair and he just closed his eyes and he said, this is an oasis of peace. And that's the goal, because I work with anxiety. And I mean, I have a kid who used to turn up to my clinic and he would beat his father. He would hit him and kick him and scream and yell at his father because he was coming to see me and it was a change in his day. So it would freak him out. So my place has to be peaceful, has to be quiet, and it has to be a place where the kids feel safe. Just that Lord's promise that lift up your eyes, your children gather to you. Amongst all my plans of how I was going to earn extra income and cover my bills, I got this phone call from an organisation I used to work for who've just been audited and discovered that they've paid us wrong and they owe me money. So that's the beginning. There's more to come. Father, we thank you that you are the God of peace, and you are the one who brings peace in the midst of the storms, Father. And I ask, Lord, that your presence would come and that peace would flow, Lord, over the workplaces and the different situations that people are in. Lord, that your peace would come and reign in those situations. And I also want to thank you that you are the provider. And I thank you for the provision for each one that's here, Father, that you're going to provide everything that they have need of. Thank you, Lord.
Thank you. Gosh, Lindell, I just was having a little giggle to myself at the goodness of God and understanding how he talks to us all, because I know now why I was a bit emotional saying that about Daniel, because Lindell's just shared the same thing and got an emotional for herself. And I just wonder if there's an extra element here of people who are feeling like Lindell was, of feeling like, oh, I don't know if this is my job is worth it, if what I'm doing in my parenting is working, if what I'm doing in my marriage is working, whatever area, I just am feeling a bit deflated and a bit flat about it, and actually want to have that renewed energy, that renewed passion and knowing that, like Daniel was saying about how he knows that his work is with these kids. I just wonder if we could just also pray for that. And I might ask you this time, you don't have to, we'll never make you do something that you don't want to, but if you do want to stand in response to this, sometimes that can be like just almost a little acknowledgement for yourself, like of receiving that. So it doesn't mean you won't receive the prayer if you don't stand, but if you want to, so if you're feeling like you just need a refreshed knowing of what your life is all about, basically, of what you should be doing, where you're meant to be, that you're doing the right thing or anything like that, then why don't you stand and I'm just going to pray. God, I just thank you for how you know each and every one of us from the day that we have been knit together in our mother's womb. Jesus, I thank you for your promises that you have designed and created each of us with a calling, God. For Holy Spirit, for every person standing, Father, I just thank you for the stories of Daniel and Lindell and their work and how the impact that it's had, Father, and for the confirmation that's brought on their life decisions. Jesus, we just ask that you would speak to each of these people here in this room, especially those standing, God, that you would just show them, God, show them where you're calling them. I pray that there would be a real freedom and a real break off of feeling like they might get things wrong. Jesus, that you would break the lie that we can get things wrong in you. Holy Spirit, would you just light the path and lead the way? Bring passion and excitement and joy. Even if the work is hard, God, bring your life to it, your abundant, abundant life to it, and lead the way, Father. In your name we pray. Amen. Amen. Beautiful. All right. Does anybody else have a story that they want to share? It could be just something that you're grateful for. It doesn't have to be a big story, but here comes Lydia, my favourite colour-wearing Fijian lady.
Good morning, church. I just want to share on Friday. I don't know whether you came through church on Easter Friday or no. I was glad that I made up my mind to come around and help Ben finish some of the stuff before we opened the door at 10 o'clock. And wow, the presence of God was so awesome. Everyone that walked through the door went back with tears in their eyes. There was no preaching, no word of God was preached, but this art, these pictures, there was 11 stations of the cross was set around the church. And it was just so amazing to feel the presence of God. And that feeling, I felt it again when we had our prayer here on Wednesday at lunchtime. I was in the office and Jenna led the prayer. So I got carried away with some of the stuff and I walked in. I think it was about 20 minutes later. As soon as I walked in, I could feel that presence again. And the same presence, I could feel it when I walked in this morning. You know, I was ironing our clothes this morning, and this song was on our TV screen. He's a waymaker, and he's a chain breaker. And this morning, I just want to pray over the church. I just want to remind us that he never failed. You've been suffering with any sickness, you name it. I just want to pray. I was fighting. I said, should I do this, Lord? And I just have to be obedient. And I just want to pray. If you are suffering any sort of sickness, remember our God is a way maker. He is a chain breaker this morning. I just want you to lift your hand and I would love to pray for you and just receive your healing this morning in the name of Jesus. Father, I thank you that we can come to you boldly because of your Son, Jesus Christ. And we thank you for the power of that blood on the cross of Calvary, that your word declares that by your stripes we are healed. And Lord, I pray and release that healing right now in the name of Jesus. We take authority of every root of sicknesses in the mighty name of Jesus. We thank you that you have given us the power and the authority to walk over every sort of enemy's plan this morning in Jesus' name. Father, we thank you, Lord, that they'll be shifting right now in those bodies in Jesus' name. Father, we thank you. We take authority, Lord, of every negative word, Lord, that is spoken against them in Jesus' name. We thank you that you have come for us to have life and life in abundance this morning. And Lord, we receive that in the name of Jesus. We thank you, Lord, that your word will be sent forth and do the work that is meant to do. And we just thank you, Father. We stand on the truth of your word that we are the head and not the tail. And we thank you for that this morning, Lord. Father, we speak peace over your children right now in the name of Jesus. We release the power of your healing and we release the power of your anointing to each and everyone sitting in this house. We thank you for your presence. We thank you, Holy Spirit, and we thank you for your peace. Amen. Thank you, Lord.
Amen. Thank you, Jesus. Got time for one more person. And while you're coming up, whoever you are, I invite you. I'll just share to follow on from Lydia. Lots of you know I always am having to see doctors and everything for stuff going on. I've been referred to somebody new just recently, and I said to Zach that the appointment that I had with this person that I would never, ever think to go and see, and it was like a kind of clutching at straws referral, was probably the best and most significant appointment I've had in like a decade. It's just as she has got something and caught hold of something that I can just feel in my body is changing. And so I just want to share that today, that if there's things you're facing, we just pray for wisdom for your doctors, for the people that you're working with, wisdom for teachers, wisdom for anyone working with children with things. Just pray for the wisdom.
Can't hold back, sorry. Can't hold back. Well, I just a number of things running through my head. We've just journeyed through the whole prayer that Jesus taught us to pray. And there's one week that was quite significant to me is when you spoke. There's a couple, quite a few significant moments, but there was one just talking about the whole, deliverance from evil. You know, I've been running the Thursday night pre-meeting and it's been really powerful. Every time I go, I'm like, God, this has got to be you, because I just need you to make this be an amazing time, and you need to turn up. And he turns up every time. Hey, Colin, he turns up. And he is amazing. And God is so good and powerful and amazing. And so last week, because we've kind of finished that series with the prayer. But just there's been I've just sensed a different attacks on people. But we've been taught that we can draw close to God. We've been taught that we can come close to him. And we need to really pull on the stuff we've been learning in the last term. So I just encourage you to hang into that and draw into that and draw close to Jesus when you are really struggling with stuff. And So just before the prayer meeting last Thursday, I got a scripture about prayer, because I love prayer and I just know it has got some good stuff for us. And we're in a season where we are called to prayer. Our church has been called to prayer, and so we need to be praying. And so now, sitting here listening to everybody talk today, we have Debbie speaking about prayer. We have Daniel speaking about faith. we have Lindell speaking about peace. So I got this song before our pre-meeting, and it was like, it's called Peace Be Still by Lauren Daigle. And it is, I really encourage you to go home and listen to it and let it wash over you. In our pre-meetings over the last term, about four or five times, the story of Jesus stepping, like encouraging Peter to step out of the boat. Faith arise. Let faith arise. Let faith arise. Tell your heart. Faith arise. And I was just reading, so before the pre-meeting also, so I got that song, Peace Be Still, Lauren Daigle, remember that? And then the other thing I got was, sorry, my phone's gone flip. Oh, there we go. It's 2 Corinthians 1, and it's talking about Paul's experience of having travelled through Asia and nearly dying and going through a deep trial. And I don't know if I can even read this because I'm just like, there is something going on here today. Catch it. Please catch it because there's something going on here. And I just, yeah, encourage you to catch it. I feel very excited. so I don't even know if I can read this. But it's just talking about his journey and how he nearly, probably sounds like he nearly died. So I'll start from verse 3. All praises belong to God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, for he is the Father of tender mercy and the God of endless comfort. He comes alongside us to comfort us in every suffering so that we can come alongside those who are in painful trial. We can bring them the same comfort that God has poured out upon us. And just as we experience the abundance of Christ's own sufferings, even more of God's comfort will cascade upon us through our union with Christ. Let that be, Debbie. Yeah. If troubles weigh us down, that just means that we will receive even more comfort to pass on to you for your deliverance. For the comfort pouring into us empowers us to bring comfort to you. And with this comfort upholding you, you can endure victoriously the same suffering that we experience. Now, our hope for you is unshakable because we know that just as you share in our sufferings, you will also share in God's comforting strength. Brothers and sisters, you need to know about this severe trials we've experienced while we were in Western Turkey. All of the hardships we passed through crushed us beyond our ability to endure. And we were so completely overwhelmed that we were about to give up entirely. It felt like we had a death sentence written upon our hearts, and we still feel to this day it taught us to lose all faith in ourselves and to place all our trust in the God who raises the dead. He has rescued us from terrifying encounters with death, and now we fasten our hopes to him and continue to deliver us from death yet again. As you labor together with us through prayer, because there is so many interceding for us, our deliverance will cause even more people to give thanks to God. What a gracious gift of mercy surrounds us because of your prayers. So, just thinking of people Daniel's working with and Lindell's working with and others here are working alongside with or and connected with. It's like when we are going through stuff, we can pour out more to them. God, we are his vessel. We are his people on and hands and feet. And we can actually do amazing things like Daniel's doing with these young guys and that Lindell's doing with these people that no one else wants to know about. You know, this is powerful, powerful stuff, and Jesus loves these people. So I just, I'm going to pray and let it be. And God, we just thank you so much, God, for powerful prayers, because the powerful prayers, the faith-filled prayers, the prayers of peace, prayers of courage, prayers of boldness, prayers of just the ones that want to step out of that boat, that I just pray that more of us would just grow a boldness and we would tell our heart to believe. We would tell our heart and our soul to believe. Let faith arise. Let faith arise in us. And God, just pour out your peace. I just pray for to the storms that are going on in people's lives, Lord. I just say, peace be still. Peace be still in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Amen.
What a way to finish up today. Wow, what a service. When we bring what God is doing and we see the threads that he's actually doing the same thing in all of us. It just looks different, right? We're going to finish up now, but I really encourage you. There's something, like Narian said, something, you know, there's significant things that God is doing. And if you want to come up, all of the space up here, we don't have to make a big scene in front of anybody, but come to the side if you like. But there will be a group of us that would love to pray if you want to pray through anything from today. And secondly, as you go off and spend some time with people you love or even on your own this afternoon, think of some gratefulness. Think of some stories for yourself of things that God's been doing, prayers he's been answering, and just talk about them with somebody. I encourage you to do that. So we bless you, church, and we'll see those who can at 3 o'clock at Zoe's. Otherwise, we will see you at one of the prayer meetings or next week.